Jackie, thanks right. very much for coming on.
Pleasure.
Need to say, best looking guest if I don't.
Cheers, mate.
I think so.
I'm the first one, am I?
Best looking by a mile. I don't know whether to talk to you or try and get off it. Right back at the start, mate, we'll go back to when you were a wee boy. Yeah. Obviously, your dad was a proper player. How much an influence was he?
Massive. He was, any kid watching their dad playing, you always think their dad's the best player in the world, don't they?
My wee boy doesn't, I think.
Does he know? No. I hope my son, though. My son didn't really see me playing, unfortunately. My daughter did, growing up at Celtic. But no, I love going to watch him, and you know, I always wanted to play in front of a crowd, and I love football, so it was a natural step for us.
Would he take you into the dressing room and that as well?
He took us to games, even my older brother. I've got two brothers, one's a year and a half older, but none of them were any good at football. One was blind, the other one liked dancing, so I was the one in the middle one that managed to get a game.
And was your dad, was he hard on you when you were growing
up?
No,
I thought, you know, he never got involved, never. You know, he used to take the training at a boys' club at nights sometimes, and I used to love it. But he was a good, quiet influence on my career.
So, and at Dunfermline as a kid, how was that coming through the system there?
It was good. I think, well, when I trained at Hibs growing up and taken out of there, I was too small. I trained at Dundee United, I spelled at Hearts, played again for Rangers growing up. Dunfermline took a chance on me. I broke my leg. A double leg break at 15-year-old. I was out for 7 months in the boys' club, and then I came back and Dunfermline took me in at 16. And great people, great. I think looking back now, the stuff we've done there in YTS, you know, the kids now would be like, we speak to certain people about bullying and, you know, getting kit organised, getting training gear, cleaning boots, cleaning stands, but. I think it made me appreciate more when you managed to make the first team.
What was the first team like? Was it hard on you?
They were very hard, aye. I used to hate it going in, you know, as a kid going into the dressing room. There was some good ones, there was not so good ones. Ian McCall wasn't great with young boys.
Sorry.
I used to come in every morning, and at 16, 17 I looked like a fetus, so he used to come in and hammer us every morning. You're in for autographs, son, what you want. And, but I ended up playing against him years later. We'd done firm against Falkirk.
Did you beat him?
Aye. But I ended up playing under him later on at Partick before he left. I ended up taking over as manager.
Do you think that's gone now for the game? See, obviously you've managed as well now. Do you think the older players, that's gone, being tough on the younger kids?
Aye, well, I remember you as a young boy at Celtic.
You used to batter your
barnet's not changed that much. I remember Sutty and I used to hammer your barnet and
come and see how ugly this kid is. That's what he used to say.
He must be some player to have a barnet like that. You know, that was. Yeah. But you know, that's. I think as a kid, you take these wee things, you look up to players, don't you? And you see it. You know, you want to be in that dressing room and. You see how we handle young boys, and I don't think that happens now. No. There's a lot more young boys getting a chance earlier, and society's changed quite a bit since then. Mm-hmm.
So playing for Dunfermline, how did the move to Celtic come about?
At the time, there was a few interested in a lot
was
of paper
Arsenal?
Talk. I was asked to go to Arsenal and play a pre-season tournament. It was like in the summer, and at that time it was before Bosnian, you know.
So how old you?
I was 20.
20, right?
20, but I didn't play in it. I didn't go. Then in summer, I was linked to a move to Blackburn. I think Dalglish was at Blackburn at the time. Nothing happened. Then I got told that Celtic put a bid in the start of October. I was told it was £500,000. It was rejected. Then we went to see him, my dad. It's like, how much are you looking for? I was in my last year, again, before Bosnian. And he said, look, you know, my son, if you don't want to stand in my son's way. And Dunfermline, in fairness, were in a lot of financial troubles at that time. I think the bank actually accepted the bid. It was 700 and plus an add-on. So that night before I signed, I was away to the pictures to watch Braveheart. That's how long ago it was. Braveheart just came out in the cinema in Dunfermline. And it was that long, the wee pictures in Dunfermline, we had to... You get an interval break.
Yeah. Did you get the pictures?
I just sat there, and it's quite a powerful film, but I just kept sitting there. I think I'd be signing for Celtic tomorrow. It was just never really took the film in. Mm-hmm. But no, it was obviously a dream come true, and you know, I was just like a wee boy, you know, I was 21 year old, so it was a great but moment.
Films come out 10 years later and done film than everywhere else, didn't it?
You say that. Sorry,
So how long before you spoke to Tommy?
I went through to do my medical. I was absolutely bricking it, just going to the stadium, and it was, and going back then, it was just the main stand, obviously, and they'd started building, it was just finished, you know, they just got back into Celtic Park, and we're playing that night against Falkirk. So I ended my medical, sweating buckets, panicking, just, you know, the bits and bobs come back. And while I was in doing my medical, somebody broke into my dad's car outside, no, stole my boots, my shin pads and my soap bag. And then Tommy's like, I'm going to play tonight against Falkirk. And I'm like, oh no. And obviously buzzing, I'm going to play. Uh-huh. I'm like, I've no boots, I've no shin pads. Like, you're no superstitious, but I think everybody likes their own boots and shin guards. Uh-huh. But I played that night with somebody's boots and somebody's shin guards, and we won 1-0, but just a blur. Uh-huh. Just a great experience.
So you got done the medical on the day and then played at night? Is that what happened, is it?
Aye.
What was Tommy like as a person when you first met him?
Brilliant. Uh-huh. He's one of the best. I know a lot of people say things about Tommy, but he's a manager and one of the best. His sense of humour, very dry, very cutting, I absolutely loved him. One of the biggest influences in football for me.
Do you think it's important as a young guy going to see it, you've got a manager like that who loves young players and puts his trust in you?
He's good because we had a lot of, you know, there wasn't a great deal of young boys in at that time. You know, it was some great players we had. You know, McStay was great to look up to in the dressing room, seeing him as a captain, and Peter Grant was a joker. You know, the next morning I came in, he'd a wee set of Power Rangers at my space, wee toys and all that, when I came in the day after the Falkirk game. You know, he'd bring you back down to earth, and I think, you know, I think it's different now because then you had a kind of grounding. You know, if you got above the station, they would soon, or you get carried away because you played a couple of games for Celtic, they would soon bring you back down to earth quickly. And Tommy, I think, installed that with a great sense of humour.
So you would still have that sense of humour as a manager? Because obviously I knew him differently.
I did, I did, because he was like, no sarcasm, but he was very quick-witted, and mm-hmm. he would say things, you know, if you'd done something, he would just, you know, in the spur of the moment. Uh-huh. But I just absolutely loved the guy.
Could he go through you as well though? Could he turn and get angry at him?
I've seen both sides of him, that side. You know, but he was very, very passionate in management. I was fortunate enough to manage myself and do a lot of things there with him that he gave us, you know, that installed a bit demands. You know, you worked under him. Mm-hmm. Every day was your last day, and you used to say the players treat every game like it's your last game because one day it will be, and you know, the standards were high.
The three amigos, obviously, what a treble that was. Who was the best player out of the three? Who would you say?
That's a tough one.
Is it?
It's a tough one. I think I love playing with Pierre. I thought Paolo was more selfish and for Paolo at times. Mm-hmm. You know, you're doing over, you'd overlap and overlap, and he would go and check in, and then it was quality. But I thought Pierre was a great player. Just mm-hmm. every time I looked up as a fullback, you look for a striker's feet, and he was always there, just bang, instant control.
Any regrets that team played such great football that couldn't win the league?
Just unlucky, I think.
Just a good Rangers, do you think?
Aye. You look, you know, the team we had and the team Rangers. I think we played some great football. I think we had too many draws that season that mm-hmm. we should have won. You know, I went in the 4th of October and never lost a league game the whole time to the end of the season. So I'd never been on the losing side and we still lost the league. It's, you know, in normal seasons that would be enough, but unfortunately it wasn't that year for Tommy.
See, footballing wise, would you say that was the best Celtic team you played in?
Best football team, aye. Uh-huh. I loved playing it. I look forward to, obviously, a good connection with Simon Donnelly is one of my good friends. Mm-hmm. And loved playing there, loved the players on about us, the experience with McStays and everything else. So, no, it was a pleasure to play in.
Because mm-hmm. See, now football the way it is with Guardiola, I feel like Tommy was just miles before his time. That's how he wanted football to be played, wasn't it?
It is. I think, you know, obviously, as I said, the management is the same. You want to see good football. You know, it's not my stubbornness about it. But, you know, it's, at the end of the day, football is an entertainment as well. But mm-hmm. it seems to be overtaken by winning and results rather than, you know, entertaining.
Mm-hmm. So Tommy goes, how did you feel when the manager who brought you in?
Gutted. It was we lost in the cup, and then it kind of turned, and we actually had it was a charity thing for Peter Grant. It was one of the theatres, and Tommy had still turned up, and it was emotional, you know, mm-hmm. since you wrote him. But it was for us. Obviously, it was devastating to leave the club, because you know how good he was and how, you know, behind the scenes how we thought of him. And at the end of the day, it was us that let him down, no other way about.
Did you think he'd be sacked when he's?
No, I didn't. You know, the Celtic fans absolutely loved him, and just said it was. I think the losing in that cup game, it was the factor in that.
Mm-hmm. What was your thoughts when Wim Jansen got the job? And we were actually,
it was unknown, and we were away in Holland pre-season, and I didn't know much about him. He turned up and he had a whistle, and everything was to the minute. Every training session, eating, we had to eat together, breakfast, everybody did for breakfast. It was a real discipline. But I liked him. You know, I had to change my position under him, and he didn't like the full backs getting forward. He liked to keep a straight four, you know, and I ended up playing further forward that year, and been a good year for me. Mm-hmm. Personally, you know, when the PFA player of the year, he moved me forward, and I played wing back as well. So but again, it was learning different positions.
See, that year you've got to stop 10 in a row. Do you think, why are we getting an unknown manager in here to try and stop 10 in a row?
Yeah, you do. It's, you know, part of you, yeah, because you sometimes you look at it and maybe it's because he's not part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go the other way and say, well, he's not got the emotional side, he's got the winning side. You know, with Tommy and all the rest of us that are there, you know, they're obviously bringing a few foreign lads as well, Scandinavians, a few English lads. But I think by the end of the season, they knew what it meant to the fans and everybody else. And the manager, obviously, as well, he kind of grew into it with the club. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he was only there in 1 year. Uh-huh. But I enjoyed working with him.
Obviously, one player that arrives, Henrik Larsson, under Wim Jansen. How did you know straight away how good he was? Because he made an arse at first, didn't he? He passed it to Chip
Chan.
People
made a big thing about that. But I mean, it was he's been back. I mean, most forwards that we had played with wouldn't have went back in there anyway. Uh-huh.
To help.
Uh-huh. But he went back in. It wasn't like it was set on the plate. It was a good strike, uh-huh. You know, away at Easter Road. But he was just phenomenal. Just got better.
Fade it off. He was phenomenal, yeah. Was he? Huh?
But he got better and better. Great guy. Took a bit, you know, to get to know him. But definitely one of the best players I worked with.
Alan Stubbs told us about how good the team spirit was that season. Was the big man vital to that, Alan Stubbs?
Aye, I think we all were. I think you said we kind of, you know, the importance of that year. I know people make it a big thing, but it was at the time. Mm-hmm. As a player, we thought we'd won it the week before away at Dunfermline. Simon scored the goal and they equalised in the last minute. Falconbridge. I thought Gildy could have saved it though. but with a good team spirit, and uh-huh. Just, they said it was fitting. We won it at Celtic Park at home to St Johnstone, and Henrik scored a great goal to settle us down that day. Then Harold topped it off with a winner. So, no, but the importance of that, I think, to everybody, but for the football club, you know, and the hard times it had been through, it was so important.
And then that final day against St Johnstone, what was the tension like before the game?
I think I slept for a week up to that, uh-huh. In all honesty. It was just so nerve-wracking. I've never had that since. I think, you know, we've been involved in the FA Cup final in Seville in different moments, but that was more nerve-wracking for me. Maybe just because I was maybe younger and, you know, a chance at home to win it. The pressure, but it was definitely a special one.
I mean, the older guys good at keeping your nerves.
I think they were probably worse, to be honest. Probably worse. Uh-huh. I think, you know, we're looking at, we're all in it together, and I think it helped us all through, and you know, just that experience. Obviously, a lot of good characters in the dressing room.
Uh-huh. Was Bim good at, because as you say, he wasn't involved. Bim, quite a calming influence. Uh-huh.
He was, yeah. I mean, like, he was. It's funny because you look at, you know, when you go into managing or coaching, you look at everybody you've worked with and you maybe subconsciously take little things from him. Vim, he didn't like confrontation. He didn't like like after a game, if we had a bad result, he wouldn't like sit down and go through the whole thing. Okay, see you Monday, not today's not the day. He didn't like mm-hmm. when you're right after the match. You know, he was very calm and I think it helped. You know, there's a lot of things said, maybe a few things I took for him as well.
Mm-hmm.
His style and how he does things.
He's Barnett.
Not quite, I couldn't have grown it then, unfortunately.
Some amount of moves in that Barnett, wasn't there? How was the night after it? Did you all go out in Glasgow?
We were up to Pavonis.
Was it?
Uh-huh. In Scobride. Because uh-huh. we're flying the next morning, believe it or not, to Lisbon to play a friendly.
No way.
For, I think it was part of the cadetty deal.
Right.
But I think, to be honest, I can't remember anything about getting on the plane.
Do you remember the game, that?
No, I didn't play the game. I was struggling. I was still sitting celebrating when the game was going on, asking somebody what the score was. But no, it was just said it'd been a long season. I'd been struggling a wee bit with an injury. So managed to get through it. And ideally, I should have went for an operation then, but I'm glad I did, obviously playing the World Cup squad in 98. So it wasn't until later on I broke down and managed to get an operation.
What was your reaction, man? How can you win the league and then Wim's away?
It was pretty surreal. There was a lot of rumours before we went over, and he obviously, Wim never gave anything away and just announced it when we were over there. I think his concern was, you know, the squad and they wanted funds, but he never said anything to the players, you know, like why he was doing it or the problems he had behind the scenes. But it just, you know, it was such a high to obviously a disappointment, but again, then we went off to World Cup at the time,
mm-hmm.
then come back and another new manager.
And how was he? Ben Goss.
Good. Aye, and it's again different methods. Very, he was a nice wee man. There's a story that because we were in the dressing in the physio room in Scotty's room, the physio's room, and the rumours around that was Rude Tulip was coming in.
Right.
So we were in, a few of the lads in there. So I'd picked up, and we knew one of the lads was always picked them up, Jamie. So I phoned him for Scotty's room to see, because he would be picking the new manager up, whether it be Glasgow Airport, Edinburgh Airport. And so I phoned him through. Jamie, is that you? And he's like, he's obviously stopping it. He's got a new manager in Fergus in the car. I didn't know. But he's so I kept phoning and he's hanging up, and Jamie, is that you? Who's that? Jamie, is that you? And it just like kept happening. Mm-hmm. And, so I phoned it again, and I think it was Fergus came on. Who is this? And just, I demand to know this. I mean, are you talking to me? And I put down the phone, and Jamie said he just exploded in the car. I said, I want that man found, and I want him disappointed. So I could have been.
Did he ever find out it was you now?
No, well, still, I end up being there 10 years now.
They've been at the door.
I could have been at the door. But, brilliant. Just, it was a unique story. I came off the phone like that, or, you know, just me, Fergus. I didn't expect to hear, but Jamie, I seen Jamie later on, and he said to me about it. He said it was just a nightmare, because they went to Edinburgh Airport because all the press and everybody's waiting at Glasgow. So Fergus is waiting, so he asked Jamie to go in to get him. He said, do you know Dr. Joe? And he's like, well, I've seen him at Villa, I don't know what he looks like. He says, we're wearing a red tie. He said, Jamie's on the boot, there's a Labour conference on. So he's come out there, and he's like, he says, then I've come out the car, and we're late, and he's exploded. He says, and you phone, and it just blew up.
So, oh, brilliant.
So, it was, so I could have been, it could have been an earlier departure for Celtic if he knew it was myself doing it.
And how was Dr. Joe as a manager? Because Alan Stubbs said, was it something you had to hold your breath when you were running?
Aye, he'd done a couple of wee silly things, but, you know, you'd do wee warm-ups and you ran about in between each other like you do, and you like hold your breath so you're expanding your lungs.
Right.
But to football players, you know, it's like wee boys at school running about and done wee rollovers and stuff, just part of the warm-up. But I liked him. You know, I didn't play a great deal of them because I said I had two operations that year on my patella tendon. And but I liked him, and you know, I liked some of the stuff he'd done. And he brought in Lubo.
You liked Dan Lubo, is it?
Aye,
Lubo. What a player!
He was just scary.
34 or something when he joined?
Aye, we again the press turned on that, and you know, was signing these old players, and he got a lot of stick for that. Then we seen him, we're like, how do we know all about him? Mm-hmm. But again, I think that's maybe an arrogance of at the time in Scotland. You know, it wasn't until obviously we seen him and how he was in Scotland, how he played. I remember playing in Ryan Giggs' testimonial, and I think it was Liam Miller asked for Cantona's top, and he's like, no, I want Maravchik's.
Cantona said that, did he? Huh?
We were like, okay, I think Lobo scored two that night, mm-hmm. at Giggs' testimonial.
Wow.
But we obviously knew how good Lobo was, but in France he was highly thought of. Mm-hmm. But, you know, us being, who's this guy coming mm-hmm. at 30 odd year old, and until we actually seen him playing.
What kind of guy was he, Lobo? Good guy?
Yeah, good. Mm-hmm. His English got better as he went on as well, but good sense of humour. Great ability. Just 1v1s, even at his age, he just chop you and have you in your backside all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, and I defy anybody to tell me what is his stronger foot.
Frightening, eh?
Aye.
Mm-hmm, left and right. So that's what, you've been there 3 years and it's three different managers?
No, I was over that.
Or was it longer?
Would that be Dr. Joe left 2000, I was there, no, I was 5 years.
5 years, three managers, and then John Barnes. Do you see that one coming now?
No, I was actually down in London. I just had my op, the second op in my knee, and I got told that's who was coming in, and I signed a few players, Ayo, Berkovic, and but I, as a football player, you're going, John Barnes, this will be class, mm-hmm. you know, great player, and Dalglish is, you know, helping him, assistant with Terry McDermott. Just thought this was going to be great, and to be fair, we started really well. We were scoring six goals, and you know, most teams were blown away. The system we played was a bit different. It was a 4-2-2-2 system, so I had the graveyard shift right back.
Wow.
Yeah, so you know, but you know, when we played, it was good. I think the turning point for him was losing Henrik mm-hmm. in Lyon. Everything went wrong from there. It was Henrik's fault. He broke his leg, and as I said, you know, then the things just seemed to go wrong from that moment on.
Alan Stubbs says it was a thing about trust. I think you were on a pre-season tour and he went and drank Tommy Johnson's drink.
Aye, he did.
Were you there when that happened?
Aye.
Was he quite like that? No, did he not really trust the boys?
Aye, nah. I think obviously he's played the game. He's still young. He's, you know, to be honest, I don't, even if it was alcohol, I don't see what difference it would have made. Mm-hmm. And in pre-season, it was you know, he let us out for a few hours. Some players went to other bits, and I don't think there's a lot of trust there.
No. Was there a good connection between him and the players? Or did you, was
John,
it...
no.
No.
No, he was quite quite set back from that. Obviously, the turning point for him, and that was the Inverness game. Mm-hmm. Fortunately or unfortunately, I wasn't playing in that one. But, or in the dressing room after it, but obviously heard what happened, and Big Viduka didn't come back out second half, and he fell out with him. But you know, he's, there's a lot of things, as I said, he done quite well, John, a lot of things he didn't.
Mm-hmm. Man management is so important, isn't it?
It is now, it is. Mm-hmm. It's now more than ever. It's more, it used to be you know, doing it for the manager. Mm-hmm. Now it's, the manager's more like a, you know, more like a social worker, or try to get the best out of the players, whereas mm-hmm. the players relied on it for their job, as their profession to play and want to play. And the power's just totally swung the other way.
So see, when John Barnes, it wasn't a grown get, would senior players go and speak to him, or was that not done back then?
I think he spoke to a few of them. I think he had a couple of run-ins with Craig Burley. Right. He was quite, I think that was pretty noted with the media. But you know, he left him out. He played, changed his position. I think Craig had scored a lot of goals for midfield, and he dropped him back in beside Lambert. I don't think he liked playing there, because mm-hmm. he liked to get forward and score goals. And he had to say, did Lobo and Ayo Berkovic in front of them. Then it was Viduka and Larsen, which
is a good team. What a team that is!
And he had two fullbacks, and me and Stefan Mahi, I think. Took loyals, but it was that was a good team.
Uh-huh. So John Barnes leaves, and Martin O'Neill comes in, top man.
Yeah, very good. Just discipline, knowledge. Just, you know, he was very intelligent. Just commanded the room. Mm-hmm. Loved working with him. At times there, I was playing and doing well, and I wouldn't have been involved. Like sometimes was frustrating, but you know, kept my head down and kept working hard. I went to see him a few times about leaving if he didn't want me, and ended up being his captain at the end, so managed to win him over. But no, I enjoyed working with him. He had good people around him, with Steve Walford and John Robertson, that sort
characters
of
characters.
Brilliant guys, great to be around, and you know.
Used to join in, didn't they?
To join in, aye, but in the Friday, young v old, but but Robbo was some player. He was some player, Robbo. But as people though, I thought they were brilliant. I've seen them a few months ago there. But they're great guys to work with.
What is it Martin O'Neill's got? It's just an aura, isn't it?
It is, aye. It's,
were the players scared of him?
You could bottle it. it was sort of like that. You know, if somebody, because he was quite standoffish, he would come and do things. Martin wasn't a coach or a training manager, you know. He was a dressing room, he was like a courtroom. I know he'd done law and stuff. His delivery and his motivation, and but I think if one of the lads had said something to him, or you know, was over speaking to him, the other lads would be like, oh, speaking to your dad. It was kind of, you know, whereas other ones you'd go over and hey, gaffer, it was different with Martin. You know, there's one time I was in the changing room, and Chris Sutton standing in the shower, and I've standing naked, and Martin's come over to speak to him in the shower. And I've just clipped round into the shower room. And I was looked at him, and I was like to Stelian Petrov, "Is that a career?" And he's like standing talking to Martin. Martin's got his back to us. And I'm going, look at him, and going, "Dad," you know, kind of looking up his ass, and he sort of just turned me, "Gaffer, Jackie and Stelian's making faces behind your back." So me and Stan running at the cubicle like two wee boys hiding from Martin's. It's like the Grim Reaper just walking past, you know. But he did have a kind of aura, and no, I wouldn't say he was aloof, but you know, it was just a focus that you always wanted to do well for him, and you always, even it was weird, really hard to explain.
So you said you finally won him over in the end. So at first, was he no keen on you?
I got injured with Scotland, and I started the season well. We were flying, we beat Rangers 6-2, and I was playing wing back then. And when he was Scotland, I got injured away in San Marino, and we're playing St Mirren on the Saturday, and he'd signed a gap to play up front. I ended up playing a gap wing back in that game, and I was like, ah, oh, shit,
this guy's so quick.
So I lost my position as wing back for a while. Then, you know, I'd been out to see him about, you know, if I'm knowing the plans, I don't want to hang around just because, you know, take a wage. I'd rather go and play if you don't want me. And he's like, no, I want you to stay here in my plans. And he'd move me position. I went to midfield, and he left some resting players. I played midfield against Ajax when we qualified for the Champions League, and I left. Played well, and the next game I wasn't even in the stand. Sorry, in the bench. I was like, you know, just like, you go from one extreme to the other, and just try to read them, and I couldn't. You know, no matter games, I started me at midfield, and played well, got man of the match, and scored. I'm not even on the bench the next game. I'm like, so I go and see him again. Just, oh no, I just, but I, as I said, then we lost a few games to Rangers, playing the three at the back. And he changed the shape and went to a four. He changed it. It was just after we got to the final. I think that was a turning point for me again. Seville, we went in the back four and we beat them. Just after we beat Boa Vista in the midweek game. And then every time we played them, that was me back in the team.
Right back.
Or I end up going to left back and putting Didi to right back, or changing it. So I found another position.
You mentioned the signings I got, but the big signings, Sutton, Thompson. Talk to us about their characters. Someone else, weren't they?
Aye, Sutton's still a character now. Yeah. He's not playing. He's probably more a character now and more outspoken than he was then. But no, good players. Great players. Sutton, intelligent boy. I know he comes across sometimes.
Was he like that as a player then, as he is now?
He's actually, you know, his thing, it took me a wee while to figure him out. He's actually shy, believe it or not.
Is he,
aye. See if like in a dressing room, he would shout out, and if you came in, he would slag off your hair and all that. As a young boy, and somebody would look at you. And so you weren't looking at him.
Really, yeah?
I believe it. So, because when, there's a couple of times he wound me up. One time I was chasing him in Barrowfield, I was going to kill him, threatening to break his leg.
Why?
he just wound his up so much. Yeah, I took, I'm usually quite placid, apart from on a match day. But he just kept going and going. I was just like, I'm going to kill you and chase around. But when you get to know him, he's actually a good guy, intelligent, but he's quite shy.
But there were top players, weren't there? Sutton, Lennon, Thompson,
yeah,
top players.
Yeah, all winners, all leaders. You know, it's with a really good team there.
Do you think that's what Martin O'Neill done? Brought players in that knew how to win and knew how to play their position?
Knew their jobs.
Because he wasn't such a great coach, so he had to buy players.
He wasn't, but he knew he could identify positions and get the best out of them. Put them into places that it would work for the team. And some younger boys came into that. We Sean Maloney came in, Jamie Smith. He did give some of them, but again, it was difficult at that time to bleed our young boys into the first team because the pressures to compete with Rangers, and you know, it's a bit different. It has been a bit different the last couple of years. You know, with Tierney's not getting a chance because obviously the competition has not been the same.
How good was that competition? Because it seemed like there was hatred there between the players. Remember Rickson and Tomo? Did it feel like that at the time?
Just in the match.
Just in the match, is it?
I hate everybody.
Is it because the standard was so good as well?
Just want to beat them, just, you know, one of my good friends, Neil McCann, there's games there, me and him were up, you know, the 6-2 game. I still remind him of that one, we beat them. But, I'm just going to, you know, he's playing for them, and no matter who you're up against, you're going to war.
You scored the Scottish Cup final in the treble year. Mm-hmm. How does that rank?
It's up there. As I said, I didn't score many. Left tab. It was a great feeling, as I said, because I'd been plugging away. I'd scored in the semi against Dundee United. I scored earlier on in the round against Stranraer, which got a lot of stick for celebrating scoring against Stranraer at the time. Both sides. Because I was like, I'd run up and looked at it and jumped up and all that. He's like, oh, well done, scoring against him. took the gloss off it. So when I scored against Hibs in the final, I'd kind of done the same kind of celebration. And
did he slaughter you for that?
No, I think they were happy because obviously they won the cup that year.
And see, that team, would they be sociable? Would you just go together?
Aye, it was very similar.
Was it?
Was
Martin O'Neill encouraged it?
Aye.
Liked it, He played under Clough, didn't he? So he would have.
Aye, but it was nothing, as I said, it was nothing crazy.
No.
You know, it's probably similar because of it was the same kind of team spirit we had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that time with him.
On to Seville. What a year, eh? Tell us about the night you beat Boavista. I know you were getting into the final there, the UEFA Cup.
It was a horrible game. And then. Henrik does and scores like last minute. I was actually, and Martin shouted, I was actually coming on, and just before he blew the whistle, he subbed, and I was like, I never got on, but I wasn't bothered. As soon as that whistle went, it was just incredible. The scenes at the airport, the Celtic fans everywhere, then coming back into Glasgow, it was great. Mm-hmm. You know, it's great to be involved in, and the magnitude, you know, I mean, that was us in the UEFA Cup final. You know, you look back in the stuff with Lisbon Lions last year, the anniversary this year, and seeing the stuff there, and the feeling the guys must have had must have been just phenomenal, you know, to do that, you know, that's soft them.
You beat some great teams that year, you know, Liverpool, Blackburn, Celtic Vigo, Boavista. Do you think that team could have competed in the English Premiership?
Aye, no doubt about it. I mean, yeah, the teams we played and we beat. You know, I remember Souness, because Martin played it the right way, because it was at the aggregate, you know, at home. We weren't able to concede at home to Blackburn, you know, and there's talk about, Blackburn played all right in the night at Celtic Park, but, you know, we were more concerned about giving anything away. We gave them possession, but it was men against boys and they beat us down there, so we went down there and beat them 2-0 at Ewood Park. Just, it was a great feeling.
Yeah, would Martin use that man against boys things?
He didn't need to.
No.
He did, I can't remember if he did touch on it, but he didn't need to. As a player, you're like, really? You know, it's, we'll see. Mm-hmm. And we did, we showed him.
And obviously you said about Larsson there that year, would he have been one of the best players in Europe, do you think, at that time?
Yeah, I think, again, maybe a big thing because he's playing in Scotland. But then he leaves Scotland to go to Barcelona, mm-hmm. and wins the Champions League with them. Then he goes to Man U at 35. You know, it's and still doing it. He's just there's not many players can do that. Mm-hmm. He's scary. He's got better and better and better as the years went on.
You said you were nervous, obviously, about the St Johnstone game to stop 10 in a row. How was the build up to that game in Seville?
It was never acting, but because we stayed in Jerez, which is about, I think it was just around about an hour away from Seville.
Right.
And families were there as well, and the bus churning everywhere you went, it was just green and white, and just the shivers on your back. Everywhere, I think it was reported like 80,000 Celtic fans there, but that's all you see there. Any time we got close to Seville, actually coming into it, and just in the heat was just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how hot it was. I came on a sub for Lambo. Martin's like, I want you to go and stand on in Deco, stop them getting on the ball. So you're coming on, like, try to get your second wind.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so difficult.
Uh-huh.
But it was, obviously, it was a really disappointing way we lost it. And obviously, Bo getting sent off killed us, because I thought we were in the ascendancy then.
Uh-huh.
Bo slid in and got a second yellow and got sent off. But you know, just and the way they went about that night, the Porto players, you know, it left a bad taste. Just they're diving about and
mm-hmm.
With altercation in the tunnel at half time. There was a wee kind of standoff fight kind of thing in the tunnel.
Was that Bobo flinging boys a bit?
Usually is Bobo, uh-huh. No, but I think it was their manager.
Oh, was it? Huh?
I think they kind of there because I think when they scored, the boy went up to us and punching his chest and that. But I think he'd done it to get them up. Meaning there's going to be a fight second half, and
mm-hmm.
that was his way of getting his players to not to rest in it, being 1-0 up at half time.
And you've tried to put it a bit in the tunnel at half time?
Oh, we had a few fights in the tunnel
over the year.
Usually Bobo was the culprit.
Could he fling boys a bit, Bobo? Huh?
Aye.
Strong boy.
It was a Barcelona game. If someone had like cut Bobo's lip, I just go, oh, no, and he's just going to, he's turning and whack somebody in the tunnel. I think it was Motta. So, and Bobo's, he's bleeding just before half time. So we come off and he's cracked to Motta. And the big Rab stepped in and you know, he took my side. You know, and there he's trying to stop the situation, mm-hmm. big Rab. So we get in the change room and the referees come in. He says, Celtic captain, which is myself, and the Barcelona captain, he came into the referee's room. He went, number 4, Barcelona, off. And then took the wee Celtic number 20, I think it was. I'm going, 20, Bobo's number 6, it's number 20. So I walked in and Martin's standing there. And he went, what? I went, wrap your ass. And he's going, what the fuck? He's going mental. I just sat down on camera and he sent Rab off. So he went off in one and end up it was in making the big marsh. He got his chance and
he's brilliant that night, wasn't he?
Came on, excellent. Just, you know, he's got Bobo to thank for that.
You said that you came on for Lambo.
Yeah.
How long before the final did you know you weren't going to play? Start.
Martin was usually like an hour and a half before the games.
Did you think you would start?
No. No. There's other ones I thought I did. I would have, but you know, he stuck with the one there in the Boa Vista team.
Right.
You know, the one that started in Boa Vista.
Uh-huh.
But he was, it was difficult to read, Martin.
Mm-hmm.
But again, some people there were working stuff and, you know, in management now, when I was doing it, you know, I wouldn't tell them at 2 hours. I'm saying, why were we not doing it the day before? Why not? It's like with the players, they keep everybody on their toes. Because, mm-hmm. as I say, anything can happen in the first minute. You know, as I've seen in football, somebody gets injured. So you want everybody prepared as if they're going to start the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and didn't want anybody slacking off because they're maybe not starting or the attitude goes. So everybody went to the game most of the time to find out if they were starting, playing, sub, left out, which is no great if you're left out. Mm-hmm. But again, that's the way you wanted to do it.
So you wouldn't shape up a team the day before that, then?
No. We'd watch, obviously, playing at home. Maybe he'd change if he was changing like corners or that. But it was more about deliveries and somebody, you know, his motivation. If you don't want to go and head it up there, don't go. I'd rather you stay back, just tell me, you know, just, he's always testing that way. And, and the players knew their jobs, they'd set the things up on the board in the dressing room and tell us before we went out. No, so just fresh in the mind. Or we'd watch videos now and again, the opposition, but mostly Europe, not in the SPL.
You obviously mentioned Porto's tactics, diving and stuff like that. Was it straight for the off the ball like that, or was it after they went ahead?
No, right for the
off, was
aye.
It?
Aye. It's typical Mourinho.
What do you think?
Well.
Is it who else? Deco?
Deco, Volinichev, they'd so many good players.
Do you think if Bobo'd stayed on, you think you'd won the game?
I thought we would have. I thought we were on top of them then. And then we obviously had to change the shape again.
2003-2004, was revenge the motivation following season after the...
Aye, I think it was, because it was disappointing there to not come away with anything. I think we played a lot of extra games, obviously getting to the final. I think maybe something like 13 games more when you look at it, you know, for Rangers. And freshness to play a Thursday night, such a massive game, would it be Liverpool, would have settled a vehicle and go back to another game on the Saturday, you know, and we dropped points for that, and I think we ran out of steam at the end, and the disappointment with that, we lost. But the next year was, I think we've shown what we're really about again, and totally smashed them.
That year was the year, the Barcelona incident with Motto, and Ronaldinho played that night. How good was he?
Ah, it was class.
You right back and he was...
I was left.
Right.
He was when he turned Didi. He was on the Didi side, thankfully. But I remember tackle him in the Camp Nou, and I used to go in like your whole body, and I just bounced off him, like
so strong.
Used to, I mean, these guys at that, they're just machines. Yeah. You know, you are getting pre-drunks, but great ability, just scary.
People always say about the SPL, it's hard to compete in Europe when you're playing the SPL every week. Did you find it hard going from playing a Scottish team to playing Barcelona on a Tuesday night?
It's different. It's a different game. We played them in Camp Nou, and I was playing left back. It was like the start of the game. Ronaldinho's got the ball, and he just went and he's flicked it round the corner, and all the look with the eyes over Eto'o's head and into the channel. So I was up against Ludovic Juli in Camp Nou.
He was quite plenty. Rapid.
But I knew if it was a race, I couldn't catch him. So I was like 5 yards behind our centre halves. I remember like looking back, and there was a commentary, it was Steve Archibald saying, he needs to push up. I can't. Because I put one in the first minute and I sliced it my right foot. I nearly scored an OG because I just got there.
Right.
I said, I'm not going to let them do that. Because he never came and got the ball or took me on. It was all done without the ball.
He wanted them behind the
other side. Because he was never offside. He just went straight across, boom, right in between the lines. He was, as I said, and I played him at Celtic Park, and he was... Juli, and he's one that gave me one of the toughest nights I've had as a player. And I played against some great players over Mars, right and left foot, but that night he just couldn't get near him.
Would that Barca team be the best team you played against?
Club, aye, they were good.
You won the player of the year that year. What contributed to such a good year, do you think? Playing every week?
Playing every week, aye, it was always, always helpful. I think consistency, as I said, I think consistency. It was a massive year. I had the back of Seville. I'd lost my mother just after Seville, and sorry.
So it was a hard time.
Aye, but it's, I think just not caring about just getting on with your football and. No worrying about things like that. So I think that for me personally, just enjoyed my football, and it was an escapism from different things.
And great feeling to win the play in the year.
It was good, aye, said at that time.
The next year, how do you reflect on what happened last day, obviously?
There's different ways that, you know, you look at it there, as you look back in your career and you go, some things meant to be. That game could have been anything. You know, with, I think Sutty had chances, three or four. Craig Bellamy had a number of chances. Big John and Marsh there and the saves. And then with 2 minutes to go, he he puts one in that could go anywhere. And to come all that to that bit at the end of the game was really disappointing. But, you know, you go after the game and I sat in the dressing room, it was for 45 minutes, like a wee boy crying, just so gutted. But you look at it like football, as you said, when you finish playing, you look at it back and you just go, you know, some things, it's not meant to be, that was not meant to be our season. And the other ones we've, Martin always said to us, you know, when we do something there, we need to do it by a long way to win something. Mm-hmm. You know, to be the best, we need to be, it can't be close. I mean, winning match, certain matches, he says we need to make sure we're way ahead. And he was right.
Do you think doubts over his future playing the part as well?
Possibly. As I said, obviously his wife wasn't well at the time, and we had the Scottish Cup final, which turned out to be my last game as well, which is disappointing because I didn't know that myself. When Martin was leaving, Martin pulled his, a few of the players behind that week, building up to it. You know, he said, look, spoke to the new manager coming in, and this is the kind of guys you need to build the team around, and I was one of them. But unfortunately, I was one of the first ones to leave in that group.
Was the dressing room still United at that time, or was there starting to be a wee bit of...
It was different. It was different. I would say it
was
different.
Why do you think that was?
Just new players coming in. Obviously the change, and I think when a manager's going or something else is happening, people look at it and say, right, who's going to be here, who's not going to be here, or maybe the ones that maybe are not in their plans think, right, I'm going to have a chance next year. Mm-hmm. You know, the new manager's coming, you see it more now, players will hang around because they see a new opportunity, a new guy coming in, they might get a chance at a game.
Obviously that last day, how hard was it picking yourself up for the final week after?
It was tough. It was a consolation. I would never say it was a consolation winning a Scottish Cup, but obviously the league was the main one. It was disappointing, but we were up for it. We weren't brilliant in the game. We won 1-0 against Dundee United. And as I said, as a captain, I'd lifted the, I think we won a few things, but I never had lifted it myself as a captain, because the first one was Henrik, his last game, so I let him lift the Scottish Cup. And then the following year it was Martin and Robbo, they all lifted it. Then obviously I went up and lifted it, but if I know it was my last game it would have been different. But I didn't know that at the time, and obviously things changed quick.
See, being the captain, does it affect you more? Does it hurt more?
Aye, I think it did. Yeah. I think losing the league last week, because you look around, I know it's responding. I know you say 11 captains in the park, but you're looking around and obviously you're hurting, you're really hurting and taking it on, you know, and you're looking around the dressing room, see who else is hurting. Mm-hmm. But I think you do take it more personal.
Is that when Martin was good? See, like after the Motherwell game, you got needs to get you up again for a game on a week after. Is that when he comes into his own?
He gave us, we were away. He gave us a couple of days away, just the fallout. Then we got back in. Then I said, when it got to the game, the Dundee game, the cup game, then, you know, we were ready, he was focused, and, you know, we got over the disappointment the week before.
Mm-hmm. And then obviously you talk about your exit for Celtic. Did you see it coming there?
No, not at all.
No.
Not at all. Again, you look at it there and you know, as people say, oh, you had your testimony, you went away, but it was many different reasons. Knowing when I was over in Ireland, I think the first spoke to him was like the 4th of June when they offered me a new deal. I was like, it's 4th of June, mm-hmm. pre-season starting soon, you know. Everybody else was tied up in like January, and I'd just kept quiet and got on with my job, and I thought I had a good season again. Obviously, if Martin had still been there, I no doubt I'd have been there. Mm. But with Gordon coming in, even I went to see him after the first offer, and he didn't make me feel that I was part of it anyway. You know, he asked me questions about other players and targets he was looking at. I was like, what about me? And obviously, he brought other players in, which he'd worked with before. So for me, it was all planned. And rather than him saying he didn't want me, and you know, because I hadn't planned in, I hadn't looked to move, and I hadn't, you know, asked my agent at the time to look at anything for me. It wasn't until the I played a game with Scotland, as I said. And then Glenn Hoddle phoned them, phoned my agent and asked him what was happening. So I ended up, I gave him a word and I went down there. So it was a big change.
But you got to leave?
Aye. They said I wanted to finish my career there, but it doesn't always work like that. You know, the year before I wanted to sign a 3-year, it would take me up. It was still being relatively young, you know, I was playing a year at just coming on to 30-year-old. I still thought I had another good 3 years in me, which obviously didn't.
Were you always interested in management coming to the end of your career? Was it something you were always thinking about?
It wasn't really, no. It wasn't, when I was younger, I wasn't really thinking about that. It was, I think, latterly when I was working with a certain manager, I thought I would do that differently, I would do that differently. I think I could do better than him.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, who was that?
I'm not telling you. But, no, I think the same way you look at things for the good, I think you look at things for the bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've worked under a lot of managers. Some great guys to start with, Dick Campbell and Bert Pert and Dunfermline characters. Just some of the stuff there and the stories, and you were like, then obviously international with Craig Brown, and I used to go back and used to write stuff down. And
oh, did you have any point?
I used to try, and because you'd forget most of it. I used to just say to my dad, you'll not believe this, man. Just like, what are you all doing, son? Keep a wee journal of it. It's just, it's all lodged in my brain now, but I think the material I've got since I started management overpowers it by tenfold.
Doesn't that prepare you for it now?
No. I think the bits that are enjoyable is working with the players day to day. I loved it. You know, obviously the Saturday, sometimes it feels like you're a player that's injured standing at the side of the park.
Mm-hmm.
You just feel like you're injured and you're wanting them to come in, or you're putting instructions out, you're doing stuff. But I got a great, when it was going, there was only certain bits I absolutely loved. There's bits at Partick I enjoy when we were playing football the right way and scoring goals at United. I enjoyed it when we were scoring goals. We'd scored, I think, like 7 or 8 games with 4 goals or more in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was young movement.
It was me gold in it, wasn't it? I remember
gold, it was just, and we had it, and I looked forward to the Saturday. You know, I see him every day and I look forward to the Saturday and like, right, who's going to, you know, can I see what we do today? And then, obviously, I had to go and do it again. I had to do it when I first went in, they changed it all at United. Because players left, John Daly went away to Rangers, Johnny Russell went to Derby, Barry Douglas went, so then you get Robertson in for Queen's Park, had Nadir Shifsey in, bringing some of the younger boys through. So it was a constant, you know...
Overturn.
Mm-hmm. And due to what happened before there at the club. But I enjoyed training at St Andrews, enjoyed working it. I had a good staff with me. The players were different class.
You never thanked me for winning you the 3 Dundee Derbies?
That wasn't your fault.
Was it not? I got totalised.
By whom?
I'm not telling you. Yeah. So what led to the breakdown at Dundee United then?
I think obviously a lot of things. It's a change, you know, we'd lost. I think any club experiences the same thing, you know, like some are, if a player's going to his last year's contract. But as I said, when I went to United, I knew what I was getting myself into. I knew the problems I had with debt and having to balance the books and doing things. At Partick, it was the same. I had a lot of things to try and change at Partick Thistle, which was a hard job.
Mm-hmm.
And try to change how the diets and looking at everything, strength and giving things there. And we got a lot of boys that were given that second chance in football, had been released with Balatoni for Hearts, he had Sean Welsh for Hibs, Forbesy for Motherwell, mm-hmm. Stevie Lawless for Motherwell, a young boy for there. So we had all these lads that were like coming up like 20, 21 year old, and worked with them and get them to play with, you know, they had legs and get them fit and doing things the right way, and you could try and make them better as they went along, because you don't get time to grow it.
Mm-hmm.
United went up there. I looked at United and I thought, right, they've got great training facilities. They've got one or two kids that maybe do something, you know, get them into the first team and work with them. And so we got it. But it was difficult because it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Nadir was hard work when I first got him at United.
What attitude was?
Everything. Uh-huh. He was obviously scarred from previous places and, you know, he'd fight with his last manager and Big Pierre Van Oddick phoned me about him. He said, look, if you can get him, I think you could get the best out of him and try and, you know, and there's times there, I know a manager I worked with would have kicked him out for what he was, you know, he was fighting with the players and, but he was actually a good kid. Mm-hmm. He's just getting to the bottom of it. This is talking about psychology, but it takes time to get to know them. What makes them tick, you know, it's not just turn up on a Saturday and hope they perform at their skin for you. It's, and people don't see that side. They don't see all the stuff, the work or the care that goes in behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. They just see the guys turn up on Saturday, then they see them move on and, you know, but the understanding of where the club was, you know, the difficulties they had. Because at one point we were close to challenging. Mm-hmm. Before
played some great football.
We beat Celtic just before Christmas. Nadir and Stewart scored, and then, you know, end of that January, they took Mackay Stephen, who was coming. He was out of contract in the summer anyway, and Stewart. And then they took Nadir in the summer. So, and obviously it takes time to go, and you can't just, you know. I always said to him, like when we first got there, when Andy Robertson, we had a nominal fee to Queen's Park. Could we afford them when we signed them? Yes. Could we afford them when he left? No. Mm-hmm. Could we afford Nadir when we got him? Could we afford them? No, we couldn't. It's because they've been developed. They've taken time and effort and work to get them where you want them. But I mean, I was the same. I was a young boy at Dunfermline. I know people spent a lot of time and work with me before I moved to Celtic. Mm-hmm. You know, they would have been exactly the same thing. You know, Dunfermline, a lot of financial troubles, as I said at the start, but it's football. It's just try to get the next ones in, and, you know, and try and improve the team. And unfortunately, they said that we paid the price for other people's problems.
Although it's frustrating when they leave, is it good as well to see that you've helped somebody get a big move or change their life, basically?
It is when you see it. It's with great pride, and, you know, Andy Robertson, a wee boy, he was at Queen's Park, amateur. Mm-hmm. He came up with the PFA to meet me at St Andrews with his parents, and I said to his mum and dad, I says, look, I'll bring him in and we'll build him up, we'll strengthen and condition him, we'll do this, and if he does this, he'll. And you see him now in the Premier League in Liverpool, and you're just like, it's brilliant.
Amazing. Uh-huh. Do you think you could get to that level?
I did. I just always in the front foot, and people always look at the weaknesses. I used to look at the strengths, you know. They say, look, I can't do this, or he loses this at the back post. Well, he can be taught that. What you can't give him is that drive and determination. He's always on the front foot, and that's the things you can't give him. The other mm-hmm. things you can help them with, you know, if they understand it and they want it enough, like Andy did. You know, there's so many of the boys like that you see it and you go, the kid's done it himself because he wants it. Mm-hmm. He's hungry and he'll keep going and going and achieving.
And one last thing I want to ask you about is your comedy writing. Tell us a bit about it.
I think, as I said, I used to take down notes of things that was said and done and stories I'd hear and different things. I was doing it just at the time when I was doing my coaching badges, and I used to write things down. I sat down one day and stood around. I thought I might do a kind of book, but without, you know, naming names. A lot of people have done autobiographies and stuff, and I just thought, They're not. It's not sincere. Mm-hmm. Because you're hurting too many people. If you really said what you want to say, you know, and a lot of people don't spill, you know, tell all or whatever. This was me a wee doing ones, adding arms and legs onto things, and then different wee stories that I'd heard, and, you know, it was a great laugh doing it. I'd sat and done about 9 episodes,
right?
But I met up with a guy who's a family friend, Frank O'Hooley. He was in Still Game, he did a bit of acting and stuff, and I just perchance met him and I talked to him about it. They ended up getting together and we'd done a pilot and filmed it at Falkirk Stadium. We were some players, like my pals, and it was just, what a laugh. Uh-huh. It was just a great laugh doing it, and I said even if nothing comes yet, you know, to do something. You know, the world's full of things. People say, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, or I was going to do this. I said, you know what, I'm going to do it. Uh-huh. But it says, I've got 30 minutes of footage of me and my pals, and got Gary Lewis acting as a manager and done something that, you know, that doesn't come anything. And I just kind of left it, you know, because I just started management at the time as it was done at Partick. And I put it to the side, and I said, really, started writing more stuff, just because it was therapeutic for me, you know, in management.
The escape,
you know, and turning characters, maybe two or three characters into what was one person for me.
Right.
And the amount of characters I've come across in the last 6 years in management, or 7 years now, it's just, you couldn't write it, you know, it's just...
So can we see it anywhere?
There's a wee bit on YouTube, I think it was YouTube, I'll give you a call, I showed some people there. I mean, I got the guy there, we'd done it a certain way, obviously it was just a pilot, but it's quite a difficult industry to get into if they're not producing it and doing it all. And I might end up just sticking on online. I spoke to the guy, Fran, a couple of months back. I said, well, stick it online, let me have a look at it. You know, because we've got all different actors and actresses that came in to do it for free. They said, look, if anything comes out, then they would, you know, obviously use them and stuff. And Gary Lewis was kind of family friend. He played the manager. And he was just
brilliant
actor, and he's just a brilliant actor. But it was good. It was a good laugh.
Brilliant. Jackie, thanks very much.
Pleasure.
It's been a pleasure.
Cheers.
Top man.